is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Big, big, big week upcoming for the Titans against the Atlanta Falcons. Floyd, do you believe that this could be one of the pivotal weeks of the season and that 1-3 could be just awful for the Titans? Or are you still saying, you know, hey, it's...
You know, it was 1-3 last year. Miami?
No, you mean 3-1.
I mean 3-1. Or Miami? Who'd I say? Cincinnati?
Jacksonville and Tennessee.
Yeah. And 1-3 teams were Indy and Houston.
And New England was 1-2, just like the Titans.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's still a lot of time. A lot of things can happen.
So, the reaction, there wasn't a ton of national reaction from the Titans-Jags because it's the Titans and the Jags. So, they kind of move forward to what the Sunday games are. And that's what most of the national media did. But Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports 1 says, not only is he done with Marcus, he thinks the Titans are done with Marcus.
So I'm watching last night as much as I could. It was awful. Of course it was. It was the Jags-Titans. And, you know, Tennessee's now officially done with Marcus Mariota. Why it took those so long, I'll never understand. But think about this. So last year, Baltimore moved off Joe Flacco. Why? They were honest with themselves. And they're happy now. The Dolphins and the Jags moved off Tannehill and Bortles. The Giants just moved off Eli, and Tennessee will now move off Marcus Mariota. Like corporate America, keep up or get benched. Okay? Look around the league right now. I mean, Kyler Murray's been in the league for 2 weeks. He's thrown for 350 yards and 308. Okay, I'm not all in yet, but I can see the door I'm about to knock on and open. Stop trying to talk yourself into crappy quarterbacks.
So I hear that, and I think to myself, the first part of what he said, which is the Tennessee Titans are officially done with Marcus Mariota, as if that is matter of fact, as if the Titans are done with Mariota. And then I thought to myself, you can tell in that clip he's done with Mariota. Not that his opinion really matters, but he's done with Mariota. But he said it's so nonchalant and matter of fact that the Tennessee Titans are done with Mariota, just like last year Baltimore was done with Joe Flacco, just like a lot of these guys get done with their teams. And I thought to myself, is he right? Like, he might be right. Like, Tennessee may be done with Mariota. And you've talked about it that, hey, look, J-Rob, if he's going to make the decision, he probably already has made the decision. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. We came into this year thinking, okay, this is the year to prove it. And now we're 3 weeks in, and you're thinking if J-Rob's going to make the decision, he's probably already made it. And Cowherd saying the Titans are officially done with Mariota. And I'm thinking, has the decision been made on the future already as far as Marcus is concerned? And not to say that Cowherd would have any inside knowledge or anything like that, but just... I mean, I think there's a chance he's right. That you listen to Vrabel talk about Mariota, and maybe Vrabel's done with him, but he knows, like, he's my quarterback now, so, you know, I got to deal with this for the rest of this year, but then at the end of the year, I'm getting rid of him, and J-Rob's getting rid of him, I'm getting a new quarterback.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you have to keep in mind, this is the same guy. Like, when Tannehill, in his first two seasons healthy, was lighting it up, he was, you know, he loved Tannehill. When Bortles led his team to the AFC Championship game, he loved Bortles. He loved all these guys that he hates now at a point in time he loved. So I don't, you know, it just, he's flopping like the wind. And that's, and I understand that.
I don't disagree with that.
What he says is not a, you know, isn't a factor to me. Now, do the Titans have their mind made up on Marcus? I think it's like I said before. I think on a week, they came into the season with an opinion on Marcus. And I think each week that opinion gets substantiated or altered. And at some point in time, it will all add up. It will sum up and they'll say, okay, I'm good. But right now, I think they're still bringing in information and they're, you know, trying to analyze this thing all the way through. Well, and they're open like crazy that he can, you know, I mean, you look at, it's like you said yesterday, you look at some of the numbers and you would think, oh, okay, you know, we should be much, much better. We've got, you know, four or five turnovers and haven't given or gave up one, a fumble. But other than that, I mean, all of those kind of crazy numbers are all in our favor. So, you know, you're just not getting the W's.
And then you have to ask yourself, why you're not getting those W's? And is it because the quarterback's not making enough plays?
Well, nobody is. I mean, that's the thing. Nobody on offense, I'm talking about. I mean, I think the defense is playing well. And then, you know, what do? They get laid into a game and give up a 55-yard run. So, you know, we've even got a little bit of hole there. And this team is not good enough right now to have those kinds of issues and find a way to pull it out afterwards. That's the hard part. And they have to understand that it's not, okay, I'm going to be good 95% of the time. No, no, 100% of the time. It's got to be.
Well, I just don't think that, like, the Titans, I don't believe John Robinson and Mike Vrabel can operate like the fans, where the fans, after week one, 74% like Mariota. After week two, 52% like Mariota. I'm not sure tomorrow when we run the Marcus Mariota approval poll that he's even going to crack 40%. In fact, I would take money against him cracking 40% tomorrow. I think he'll probably be 32, 34, somewhere in that range. Well, I don't feel like J-Rob and Mariota can have emotions that are as high and as low as that of the fans us like that.
No, I mean, they're not flopping in the wind. But I think if you go into this season and you like Marcus, and you think, okay, I'm really, this is my guy, and he goes through that first game, you go, yep, this is my guy. He's even going to be better. Then you hit the second game and you think, couple of mental mistakes. If it's not for the couple of mental mistakes, we're sitting here at 2-0. Then you go through the game last week and you say, you know, if it wasn't for this, or if this didn't happen, or if this. And so, you know, I mean, I think, and if you don't like him, you're going just the opposite. You're looking at the Cleveland game and you're going, wow, that was, you know, if they don't throw all those interceptions, that game is going to be really, really tight. But because, you know, we got three interceptions, and because we ran the ball effectively, they won. And you never mention Marcus. And then you get to the second game, and you go, well, it's kind of the same old stuff. You get the third game, there you go. You know, so I just think it's, I mean, they don't go one game, you know, yeah, let's sign him, and the next game, no, let's don't. And I think, at a point in time, you go through this enough, and at a point in time, in game 15 or whatever the game is, you're saying, okay, you know, this is where we are.
So I feel like a lot of fans went through that moment in the Colts game. I can't see John Robinson letting the Colts game affect him that much, or letting the Jacksonville game affect him that much. And then the other side of this is, we, you know, the excuses for Marcus we promised we weren't going to make. Well, doesn't John Robinson have to factor that in when he's watching this right now, that he does not have a right guard on the offensive line? And we've, you know, you've got Calais Campbell against a practice squad right guard. I mean, you know that. John knows that. We talked about it during the break. I go, well, what about slide protection? Well, if they slide protect to Campbell, now the edge rushers basically get a free shot at Mariota. Well, don't want that now. Okay. So what if they, well, if you, what was it? If you nine technique the center. No. Nine technique is on the outside. If you, what was it?
The smaller one numbers technique, are closer to the center.
Yeah, if you one technique the center, and then you work on the tackle, then you set it up so it's a one-on-one matchup against the guard, and that's exactly what Jacksonville did, which doesn't seem to be very complicated or whatever. And I'm thinking, well, if you're John, you're watching that game, you got to think to yourself, well, I mean, what is he supposed to do? Look at this guard I put out there for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a factor, you know. But, I mean, whatever your opinion was to begin with, I think it either just gets stronger, 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 or you kind of blow it off. Because the bottom line is, he hasn't done enough one way or the other to really be committed. You have to be committed because of a bunch of other reasons. Mm-hmm. You have to be committed because, you know, you love him in the locker room, or you hate him in the locker room, or you, you know, you hate him on the field or you love him on the field or whatever the case may be, because he hasn't, you know, we have not won enough games or lost enough games that you look at that part of it and go, oh, my God, we can't live with this. So I think that's what makes it even a little bit harder.
Let's take your phone call, 615-737-1025. Colin Coward says he's done with Mariota and thinks the Titans are done with Mariota. Do we think the Titans are done with Mariota? And then, are we surprised? Did Mike Vrabel's assessment of what Mariota has to do to be better, did that lack some sort of inspiration? And is that a sign of how Vrabel feels about Mariota? We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. It's Jared and the GM live from the Wholesale Inc. studio powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025 The Game and streaming on the app you gotta tap, the Game Nashville app.
In every situation is week to week. Is the quarterback a part of that, or is that even what we're talking about at this point?
I don't think that that's something that we're looking at right now, but it's always something that we consider every week. But not right now. I think that, again, trying to emphasize the really good throws, the really good production. We got some play pass production. But then again, there was just some plays that we'd like to have back in our run game, in our throw game, our defense.
That was Mike Vrabel. Hey, what do you think about changing the quarterback? No. Not thinking about changing the quarterback one iota. Which Vrabel has held strong to yesterday, held strong to it, so on and so forth. Now, Vrabel was asked yesterday about what Mariota can do to get better. And I'll just say this. Vrabel did not inspire me with a lot of confidence with his answer.
You know, practice well. I mean, just continue to stay focused and be crisp and execute. And I think that you build trust and confidence on the practice field. That when you can execute in practice, you know, that should lead to game reality. You know, that's kind of what we always think. And, you know, there were some good things on Thursday. I'm not going to tell you that they were all great and they were all bad. I mean, because there were some good throws in there. But there are things that we need to fix. And that's a collective effort throughout the offense and me and the coaching staff.
So for some reason, that answer did not inspire me to think, you know, Marcus really can improve on what we're looking at. It almost felt like Vrabel was kind of like, hey, Mike, what can he do? And Mike's thinking in his head something like, he can practice well and practice well and, you know, kind of see where we go from there. Whatever. That's the reaction. That's what I felt from Vrabel's words. And I've always heard the saying from coaches that is the moment you need to get worried is when I stop getting on you. Because when I stop getting on you, it's when I think I can't help you anymore. And I'm wondering if Vrabel's getting there with Mariota.
Well, I mean, I don't know. But I wouldn't infer that from what he just said. I mean, what's he going to say? You know, he's not going to publicly come out and say, well, you know, his footwork has been horrible and his shoulder turn is awful. He's not spinning the ball well. He can't read coverages. I mean, what's he going to say? You know, he can't say any of that. So he'd say, hey, you know what? He's doing fine. We just got to work on it in practice and keep, I mean, it's you know, what he says in public and what he says to Marcus or in meetings, I'm sure is completely different. So,
but shouldn't you, even though it's just the media, shouldn't you be inspired and excited and all of that stuff when it comes to talking about this, just so that, because the players hear all of this. So if Vrabel were to come out and say, hey, if Marcus can just focus on, we've got a chance and we've seen that Marcus is a great quarterback, and he didn't do that. He said, you know, get better and then, you know, see if, work in practice a little bit and, get out there again.
I'm just going to guess that most of the players have a pretty good idea about what's going on. I think they realize that, I mean, Vrabel has talked to them all and again, I'm assuming this just from listening to those guys talk to the press. I mean, since when do you get a lot of information from them in the press? You know, mm-hmm. they don't say a lot. Why is that? Because he's saying, hey, you know, This is the deal with the press now. This is the way we do that. Okay. And then he's going out and trying to do the same thing.
One thing I do wonder, though, I wonder if this team still believes in Mariota. I mean, again, we know the fans have gone from 74 to 52, and tomorrow it'll probably be, I'll be, again, stunned if he cracks 40. But the team, do they still believe in him like they did at Kansas City? Do they still believe in him?
I don't think. I mean, I don't. It's just me. But I don't sense anybody wavering on Marcus. I mean, that's just me. Anybody, I'm talking about from a player standpoint. Really, from coach or GM, to be honest. I mean, I haven't seen anybody waver. And I don't, you know, I mean, even if they did, they probably wouldn't, you know, they're not going to come out and say it. But, I mean, I haven't, you know, every time you talk to somebody about the quarterback, oh, yeah, hey, we got complete confidence in him. You know, he's such a good guy, such a hard worker. Or they go through the same old rigmarole. You know?
Well, that was talking season talk, though. That's not now that we've gotten into the season and Mariota has underperformed in two of the three games talk. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, again, I don't sense anything. I'm not really listening for it because I'm, you know, I mean, I think.
Because you're above that?
Not above it. I just know what they're trying to say, which is nothing. So I don't need to listen to nothing. So I just go on.
I still wonder if this team, I do wonder if this team, the players, believe in the quarterback. Do they believe in Mariota? Do they still believe that they can go out there any Sunday against any quarterback and that Marcus Mariota can win them the game?
Well, the answer to that is no. Do you believe that?
He's beaten Tom Brady.
Any quarterback, any team, any Sunday?
Last time he played Aaron Rodgers, he beat him.
No.
Last time he played Drew Brees, he beat him.
The answer to
Last time he played Tom Brady, he beat him. Last time he played Russell Wilson, he beat him.
The answer to that is no.
All those guys sit at the big boy
table,
right?
They don't believe that. And I don't believe it either.
Well, but I think, like, for example, I think the Baltimore Ravens, now it didn't help them win the game on Sunday, but I think the Baltimore Ravens went out there onto that football field in Kansas City and thought, Lamar Jackson can beat this team. We can beat this team because we have Lamar.
If they did, they are foolish.
I'll tell you, you're the only person who thinks Lamar absolutely stinks.
Oh, you watch him throw his passes look like punts.
I'm just saying, you're the only person who thinks Lamar stinks
He threw half of the passes I saw him throw down the field, he threw blind. He wasn't even looking. It was the old rear back so far. Your head is turned completely off to the side as the ball goes. I mean, there are guys down there, it looks like they're fielding punts. And they jump up in the air and pull it down, and it works. And I go, hey.
Maybe Marcus should learn that kind of offense.
You know, that's one way to do it.
I go back to, again, I think when the team gets off the bus, the Baltimore Ravens players think that Lamar Jackson gives them a chance to win every game. I don't think the Denver Broncos get off the bus thinking Joe Flacco gives them a chance to win the game. I think the Bears team gets off the bus saying, we're going to win this game in spite of our quarterback. But again, do the Titan players get off the bus and think, we've got a shot because we've got Marcus Mariota? Now, we'll say this. The last time he played the big boy quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, beat him. Drew Brees, beat him. Russell Wilson, beat him. Tom Brady, beat him. Dak Prescott going to get $40 million, beat him. I don't know what that means, but
yeah, the
Gardner Minshew
answer your question,
lost to him.
Answer your question is no.
Doesn't mean
every time. And the question is, you know, there's a difference between having a chance, having a prayer, and feeling like you've really got a chance to win, you know. I think we went in Jacksonville thinking, hey, we've got a chance to win this game now. We've got, you know, we got a good shot here. Indy, I'm not so certain.
You don't think they thought they could win Indy?
I'm not certain. No, I think they hoped they could win. I think they went into Jacksonville thinking they can win.
Hey, there was only one person that believed they weren't going to beat Indianapolis. Me. Well, picked them. Chris picked them. I mean, everybody thought.
We're not players. We're guys. I'm talking about the players. The players are all there saying, wow, this is, what's this, 13 in a row now?
550.
Whatever it is.
The Colts curse. To the phones we go. 615-737-1025. Get your phones in. 615-737-1025. Delaney Walker, by the way, says one thing I think's got to happen ain't going to matter. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM. Hey, Preds fans, join the game Nashville at the second annual Preds Fest on Sunday from 2 to 6. There'll be Preds player appearances, live entertainment, a used equipment sale, and fun for the whole family. Stop by our tent to win some awesome prizes and game gear. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We focused over the weekend and today on accountability and fundamentals. And that's just, you know, what I felt like was something that was easy that we could all look at in the meeting rooms this morning. Being accountable. You know, I told him a story. I had a teacher in the fifth grade. I hope he's watching. Not sure if he is or not, but when we got in trouble, you know, he made us write out like 3,000 times, I will take responsibility for my own actions. Figured out later on in life that was called accountability, you know, taking responsibility and fixing it. You know, it's not just enough to say, you know what, I have to be better, but it's like I have to be better and then this is how I'm going to fix it.
That was Vrabel. Speaking of accountable, how about the star left tackle, $50 million, not getting suspended? That would be very nice and that would be very nice and accountable.
I wonder what that cost him.
I think it's like $3 million, I think, is how much it comes out to.
When all said and done. Four games?
Yeah. Somewhere around $3-4 million. And so, anywho, there's only one game left for him to come back. What are you doing this shoe for? Like, how much money he lost?
That's $3-4 million he may never make up.
Well, we've always talked about, when Warren Buffett, when it's like, Warren Buffett lost $8 billion today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 2 days later, the market goes up. Warren makes his $8 billion back, and
yeah,
then some.
Yeah.
This is a little different.
Yep.
And so, anywho, I mean, the Titans have got to get Taylor Lewan back. I mean, I don't think there is any doubt in anybody's mind that Taylor Lewan has got to get back, and he's got to play like Taylor Lewan when he gets back, right?
Right.
Well, don't tell that to Delaney Walker, because Delaney said, hey, look, at the end of the day, Taylor is not going to just turn the world around.
I'm going to be real with you. My position says tight end, right? I can't speak about what other position or what they're doing or what they're not doing. This is the NFL, so, I mean, you have to step up. I don't think one guy is going to make a difference. I love Taylor to death, and I think he's one of the best tackles in the game, but is that going to make a difference when he come back?
And so that's what Delaney Walker said. Do you agree with Delaney that one guy's not going to make that big of a difference?
Well, I mean, you need to define big difference. You know, I mean, in my mind, it makes a difference from the standpoint that you don't have to worry about him. I mean, he's not going to be flawless right off the bat. We know that. But he's out there and you don't care who lines up there. You're saying, hey, Taylor can block him, which means that now you can look at some of these other areas. If you've got Kelly lined up out there against Gilbert, I mean, you're maybe going, I think most of the time he can block him, but can he block him every time? With Taylor, you're saying, hey, Taylor's going to block him every time. That's why we paid him all that money. So, I mean, I think it frees you up from that standpoint. Now, does him automatically showing up mean that we're going to run the ball for 250 yards? No, I doubt that. But, I mean, it will solidify the left side of the offensive line, and it will make you feel like, hey, I mean, you know, I think Derek kind of likes running over there anyway. I mean, we're going to be able to run the ball there some and with some strength, with some power.
So I think the biggest reason that I believe this makes a big difference when Lawan comes back is your theory of your five best offensive linemen include Dennis Kelly. And I think they're going to kick Conklin into guard and put Kelly at right tackle when Taylor Lewan comes back. And that does make a difference. Now I've got a former All-Pro at right guard as opposed to a former practice squad player at right guard. And that makes a difference. I mean, I'm scared to death right now thinking about Grady Jarrett versus Jameel Douglas on Sunday. Scared to death about that.
Well, the hard part about that, like I said, and I keep saying this, you know, the blood's in the water. And these guys are all salivating over the opportunity to line up over, you know, somebody that they think they can get a great pass rush on, because every one of these defensive linemen are thinking the same thing. In spite of what coaches say and players say, they want sacks, because everything about their existence as a defensive lineman is based on sacks. And so, you know, that's why you don't get a defensive tackle that has a sack and a half a year making $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. Now, you got Albert Haynesworth in there, and Albert can end up getting 12, 13 sacks. He's going to make a bunch of money. Why? Because he's at a position that nobody can rush the passer, and he can rush it better than anybody in the league. So, pay him. I mean, that's the way it works. But again, it's not based on the fact that Albert was a great two-gapper or that Albert had great lateral movement. It was based on the fact that Albert can knock the QB down. And that's what all those defensive linemen, their existence is based on.
Well, when they play Jameel Douglas, they can do that. And they're going to try.
Pad those get my stats, money. Baby. Yep.
Let's go to the phones. Tim is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Tim?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, you know, my thing is I feel like the Titans have become like the Chicago Cubs of baseball, man. Every year the fans are just like the Cubs fans. You see the Cubs fans at the beginning of the season holding up the sign, wait till next year. Every year the Titans, oh, here we go. We're on a roll. We're going somewhere. And every year it's the same stuff. We ain't going nowhere, man.
Thank you for the call. I don't really know where to go off of that. I mean, it does feel like the Titans are stuck in this state of, you know, like, I'll say this. Like, I'm, you know, if they go 9-7 again this year, like, I think we're all going to be frustrated with 4 9-win seasons in a row. This sure as hell beats the 3-13 years and the 2-14 years.
Oh, it's not
you
even
know,
close.
Like, this is, like, I'm not saying, you know, be thankful for what you get for Christmas. But I'm sitting here saying, like, you know, this is a far cry from what they were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
When I first got here on the air, they were terrible.
They were the worst.
We had nothing to talk about it when we got to October. You're sitting there like, oh, are they going to fire the coach today? I don't know. Let's take your calls. Like, thank God it's not that. But, no, I'm with you. I mean, it'd be nice to have a team you feel good about that, you know, is a contender. And you, but they're not there yet. And,
well, it's like we were talking about the Preds. You know, I mean, there were years ago that you would have said, okay, we're going to make it to the playoffs, but we're going to get eliminated in the first round. I don't care. Just make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Just get me to the playoffs. That's all I care about. Well, after you get to the playoffs and after you do some of those things, now all of a sudden, you know, getting to the playoffs is kind of bottom line. And so I think the same is true with all teams. You know, once you get to a point, you reach a certain level, then that level becomes bottom line.
I love Barry Trotz, and so does everybody else. And Barry Trotz is a great hockey coach, and he's proved it. But Peter Laviolette has been to the second round 3 times with the Predators. Barry Trotz got there twice in like 15 years. Like, you know, so it's – but now if Peter were to go back to the second round, there'd be some fans, the second round ain't good enough. And that's the same as all of this. Cedric is up next. Go ahead, Cedric.
Dude, every time the season starts, everybody's like, we're going to win the Super Bowl. And if you go back over the last 20 years or so, maybe 25, all the Super Bowl champions have had elite quarterbacks. You all know we don't have an elite quarterback. But I got a solution, Nashville. The Titans need to start burning for Burrow. That is our guy right there. Go to YouTube. Look at that guy's highlight point. He's sitting in the pocket. Man, there's one clip, man, where he drops back. He hit his foot. His foot hits. He's looking to the right. Then he comes back and throws right down the middle. Marcus isn't doing that. He's pushing the ball down the field. The guy's mobile. He's running read options. And then you watch his interview. I said, I want to hear this guy talk. He goes out there and says in his first interview with LSU that he believes that the quarterback has got to be the best guy on the field and the best leader in order for that team to be successful. I'm sold. I'm sold. Burn for Burrow. The shirts are coming, baby. Start the campaign, Jared.
You do know the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback 2 years ago. That's super. I mean, let's...
His dad, Burrow's dad, is a coach.
I like Burrow. And, I have always liked
Burrow. And so he's got, you know, he's got that background.
I just don't want a rookie quarterback because you're almost never good with a rookie quarterback. But maybe he's like Mahomes. I don't know. I didn't know Mahomes was any good. Back to your phones next. Plus, who are some of these contenders and pretenders and teams that are bad and rotten in the NFL? We'll go over the top and the bottom. Coming up next, Jared and the GM. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love those guys. And Kenny, you will too. That's right. Nothing is great for your home like Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Why? For starters, they've got the reputation of success. They have an average 4.8 out of 5-star rating with over 15,000 online reviews. Why do people like Hiller so much? Because they're trained, they're professional, they get the job done, and they give you a great price at the same time. Thanks to true transparency pricing. That is a hallmark of what makes Hiller so successful. They come to your home, they give you a price, they explain it to you. No hidden fees, no special fees, no flat fees, nothing. They break it down for you so you understand. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They work on my home, they can work on yours. Proud supporters of the National Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers, they are the best. Again, that is a 4.8 out of 5-star rating with Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, the best. Call the Happy Face Truck today. Jared of the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared of the GM, Ian had the stat of the weekend earlier today. What was the stat? The Steelers threw only one pass and they lost the 49ers.
Yes, the Steelers completed two passes versus the 49ers that traveled more than 1 yard downfield.
Like, how terrible is that?
I mean, you're better than that in Pop Warner.
I mean, like, I feel like I could go out and do that in an NFL game. I mean, so I'm looking at some of these teams, right, that are, like, for example, New England in the AFC, they're 3-3-0 teams. New England's 3-0, Kansas City's 3-0, and Buffalo is 3-0. Now, do we think Kansas City and New England are legit?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you think Buffalo at 3-0 is a legit
team? Well, how are you defining legit?
Do you think Buffalo's going to finish a year at 10-6?
Seven more wins.
They still have to play Miami again, the Jets again.
Yeah, they got
two of their wins are Miami and the Jets.
Well, I know one
Miami. I mean, the I know Jets
and the Giants and Cincy. So
they beat the Jets, the Giants, and the Bengals.
So Miami twice.
And they're
going
to get Miami twice and the Jets again. That's three more wins. That's at six. They got a chance.
Oh,
get
man.
To nine.
Man, so I'm looking at like some of these teams in the league, and I'm like, you know, who do I believe in? Who do I not believe in? For example, Green Bay is 3-0. Not buying Green Bay one bit.
Only rookie coach with a winning record. Got the game ball first game.
He's playing nobody's.
The quarterback loves him.
Then I look at, okay, let's go over the 0-3 teams. Washington at 0-3. Terrible.
Terrible.
The Giants 1-2.
Bad.
Philly 1-2.
And now they got the last running back.
Philly 1-2.
Philly's better than that, but they're not playing like it. Now, I'm not sold on. I can't fall in love with that quarterback.
You don't love Wentz, yeah.
I can't fall in love with him.
Like, what gets me is, like, the Chargers are 1-2. And I think the Chargers are a pretty decent team. Atlanta is 1-2, and I think they're a decent team. And the Giants are 1-2, and I think the Giants are terrible.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh 0-3, Cincinnati 0-3, Cleveland 1-2. Who's total phony and dunzo there?
Are there who's going to pull out of that?
Anyone going to pull out of that?
I doubt it.
You don't think Pittsburgh? You think Pittsburgh's got a shot with
I don't know. I think they're in trouble.
I do too. Cincinnati is horrible. I mean, I cannot wait to claim my $100 from you.
I thought it was 10.
I am certain. And in fact, the Twitter record will prove that it is $100. I'm really excited about it. Denver 0-3. Any hope in Denver?
Hope of
them
getting
not being
Nate, Nate?
Sure.
Yeah. You got hope.
Okay, here's a couple other ones that are doing pretty well. Baltimore 2-1. Are you a believer in Baltimore?
No.
Are you a believer in Detroit 2-0-1?
Matty P.
Matty, our guy Matt Patricia.
I don't know. I mean, they're going to be better than people think they're going to be. Now, I don't know where that gets them. I mean, if they were to get to 8-8, they'd probably be thrilled. I don't know.
Okay, and then the final one that I find to be very important, but I just clicked on another link. The final one that I think to be very important, San Francisco 3-0. Jimmy G, do you believe?
I can't. I don't think they're – I mean, he's not playing bad. I'm not saying that, but they're winning because they're – killing people running the ball with running backs that nobody knows, and they're playing good defense, which I don't think they're equipped to do. So I'm going to say that, they'll fall out a little bit.
They're like Buffalo to me. They've played Tampa, the Bengals, and the Steelers.
There you go.
You know, like that's the Steelers. Tomlin's probably going to get fired this year, and this is 0% in my opinion on Tomlin.
Yeah.
Since no one ever gives Tomlin credit for winning, I don't see why we have to blame him for losing when Ben, you know, is hurt. And,
yeah, quarterback's done. You got a rookie in there playing. I mean, it's a battle.
Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Josh is up next on Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, guys. I love you guys, Floyd. I love you, but you've been beating around this Mariota bush for far too long. You know, you kind of tiptoe along the fence line, afraid to come down on one side or the other with any real take. I called in a couple times saying I think the offense would be much better and move the ball, be more effective with Tannehill in, and it's always the same thing. No. We know what Tannehill is. There's no way Marcus is a better answer. The coaches know what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. Well, Floyd, it's time to put it on the mahogany. All right?
Well done.
I think if Tannehill comes in, the offense scores more points, and I will bet you $100 to the charity of our choice, to the winner's choice, that when Tannehill comes in, the offense will put up more points than they did with Marcus at quarterback. What do you think?
Are you going to be able to prove that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
More points. If they score more points with Tannehill at quarterback...
Well, what if Tannehill comes in and the one game he comes in is like the Bengals?
I don't... I would have to
say... What if? I mean, it's a pretty simple equation. Do they score more points with Tannehill at quarterback than they do with Marcus?
Yeah, to me, it's wins. I mean, that's all I care
about. Okay, wins. That's cool. Let's do wins.
So, I mean, if he comes in and of course, I don't know how you evaluate that either.
Marcus is going to win.
What do you mean? How do you evaluate
Marcus is going to win more games because he's going to play more games.
I don't understand. How do you evaluate points per game or how do you evaluate wins? Those are
I'm saying how could you say that Mariota won a game that Tannehill couldn't have won or vice versa?
Right. Like
because
if it's about
not,
wins.
Yeah, they're not playing the same game back to back.
Marcus is going to win more games than Tannehill because he's going to play more games. You know, I mean, Scotty on Twitter says, I always agree with Floyd over you, but when it comes to Lamar Jackson, Floyd might be a tad wrong. Bill has an Adoree Jackson take. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, I wonder if this would work, guys, since he's having so many problems back there catching the ball. I think he's trying to look downfield to see who's going to clobber him. Why not keep another man back there with him so he can concentrate on just looking the ball into his hands? Have the other guy yell to him whether to fair catch it or run with it, Plus, if he drops it, we got one guy close by at least. What do you think of that?
Lloyd?
A nine-man return, what we used to call a nine-man, where you got two guys deep, was always a good plan, in my opinion, in weather. And if you're playing a particularly good cover team that has somebody like a Slater or somebody that you know is going to be get down the field like a shot and have a chance to kill your returner, then we would keep a guy back. But yeah, I mean that's always a possibility. Anymore, you just don't see two guys back unless the weather's bad.
Can I say this?
Happen a lot.
USA Today wrote an article on Thursday about Adoree Jackson, which talks about how Adoree's getting ready to launch his entertainment career, and it talked about a pilot he was shooting at his place or whatever for HGTV, and how he was doing it like 2 days before the Colts game and stuff like that. That bothers me a lot. You know, if Adoree's head is not on football completely, then I just assume get rid of the guy. And he has been a disappointment this season, in my opinion.
Well,
so, I got a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, we're talking about three games.
And the preseason, he was terrible.
I don't care about the preseason.
I do.
Three games, I mean, he's had a pass interference penalty and fumbled a ball.
And dropped a touchdown.
What do you mean dropped a touchdown?
Interception.
Baker threw the ball right in his hands.
Oh, it was a tipped ball.
He would have run into the end zone with a touchdown to start the season.
It wasn't even thrown to him. It was thrown to Brown, and he tipped it out to him.
Pick it up, run it in for a touchdown.
Right.
By the way, you know where we'll be tomorrow?
At Bridgestone, but what's the name of the place?
Pete and Terry's Tavern.
Pete and Terry's.
Pete and Terry's, or as I like to call it, Crispy Sports Bar and Grill.
It used to be, what it used to be?
Tavern 96.
Tavern 96.
But now
Pete and Terry's.
They named it after Crispy and Pete Weber. So we will be there tomorrow at 2:00. Meanwhile, ESPN Radio is coming up next. Jared and the Jeep.